بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our sixth session. Arabic lessons in Hadith, level 3, Al-Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University Medina Arabic program. And today, inshallah, we're going to take our sixth hadith on page 17. The hadith is on page 17 and the pages that follow, explanation and discussion and questions. Before we start, I just want to remind everyone that every week, inshallah, if we can try to weekly practice writing the hadith, and when you come to the class, yani if you can turn in something that you have written from the hadith that we have taken so far, preferably from memory, try to write it from memory, but if not, at least write it out for practice. And inshallah, yani this is preparation for the end of the course when we'll have yani a written exercise. Okay, let's get started quickly.
Someone has a white Mercedes.
Maybe. Or it could be the sister, yeah. Okay. Okay, so we're on page 17, Al-Hadithu As-Sadisu, the sixth hadith. The topic of this, or the subject of this hadith, Fil-Mashi Al-Khufayni. Fil-Mashi Al-Khufayni. Yani concerning wiping over khufs. This hadith specifically mentions khuf, and khuf yani is a type of footwear that's made from a thin type of leather. In any case, hopefully we'll have a chance to discuss a little bit today something related to this ruling, and that it is not exclusively limited to khufs, rather it is applicable to whatever footgear wear a person is wearing, that it's permissible to wipe over them, and hopefully we'll have some time to discuss that today. Before we do that though, let's go right into the hadith and look at the meaning of some of the important words in this hadith and some of the grammatical points of importance, and also look a little bit at some of the other narrations of this hadith. Okay, so again, page 17, Al-Hadith As-Sadithu, the sixth hadith, Fil-Mashi Al-Khufayni, concerning wiping over the leather socks. An Al-Mughirati Ibn Shu'bata, radiyallahu anhu, qal, kuntu ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wasallama fi safarin. It's here on the board. Fi safarin. This is how the hadith came in Sahih al-Bukhari. Fi safarin. I sent the email also. In any case, this is how the hadith came in Sahih al-Bukhari, and in some of the narrations of Sahih Muslim also came like this. The narration that we are paying attention to is the riwayah of al-Imam al-Bukhari. An المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله عنه قال كنت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر يعني in a journey فتوضأ so he performed ablution فأحويت so I bent down لأنزع خفيه in order to take off or to remove his leather footwear. فَقَالَ يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then said دَعْهُمَا leave both of them فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا because I have put them in يعني the feet into the socks طَاهِرَتَيْنِي both of them being in a state of purification فَمَسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا then he wiped over both of them متفق عليه agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim as being authentic. And as I said, this is the narration, yani we wrote here, وَاللَّفْظُ لِلْبُخَارِيِّ. Yani this exact wording is from Bukhari. That's how it came in Bukhari. Yani with these two words here, fi safarin. Here also underneath there, you might not be able to see it, but in small print on the bottom of the board, we have the narration of Abu Dawud, which is very important, and we'll come back to it as we look at the meaning of this hadith. An Abi Hurayra, an al-Mughirati ibn Shu'ba, yani on the authority of al-Mughira, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who died in the year 75 of the Hijrah, and he was 70 years old at that time. Both al-Bukhari and Muslim have narrated. Both of them agreed upon 12 hadith narrated by al-Mughira. Both al-Bukhari and Muslim have reported them. And Bukhari has singly narrated one hadith from Mughira that Muslim didn't narrate. And Muslim has narrated two hadith from al-Mughira that Bukhari didn't narrate. So, al-Mughira ibn Shu'bata radiallahu anhu, he said, كنت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin, on a journey. That was in the time of the Ghazwa to Tabuk, the Battle of Tabuk, and it was the time of the Fajr prayer, as in some of the narrations it came. Kuntu ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin. I was with the Prophet on a journey. Fatawadda'a. So he performed ablution, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani it was time for the Fajr prayer, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed ablution. Fa'ahwaytu. So I bent down, لِأَنْزِعَ, يعني with فَتَّة, أَنْزِعَ, يعني is فِعْل مُضَارِي, منصوب with فَتَّة, because of لَام التَّعْلِيل, لِأَنْزِعَ, for the purpose of, I bent down, for the purpose of removing the خُفَّيْهِ, يعني the two خُفْس of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني he bent down so that he would be in a position to remove the خُفْس of the Prophet and wash his feet. He bent down to remove his khufs for him and wash his feet. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So the Prophet, when he saw him bending down, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, he said, دَعَهُمَا, يعني leave the khufs, the two of them, the two khufs, leave them. دَعَهُمَا. فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا, because I have أَدْخَلْتُ, يعني دَخَلَ means to enter, أَدْخَلَ means to cause something else to enter. Mean I have entered, I have put my two feet in the two socks. I have entered these two feet into the socks, tahirataini, in a state of purification. Tahirataini mean the two feet, they have been purified. They have been washed before he put the socks on. Yani leave them, for indeed I have put them in the socks in a state of purification. In that case, yani tahirataini is hal, meaning that was the condition of his feet when he put the socks on. They were free from any impurity. They were in a state of purity. فَمَسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. So, for this reason, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped over his socks. There was no need to wash them. He had put the socks on after having already washed them, so he wiped over them. This hadith, muttafaqun alayh, yani its authenticity is agreed upon by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. The wording here is specifically from al-Imam al-Bukhari. Also, we have a narration here from Abu Dawood which clarifies the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said da'ahuma fa inni adkhaltuhuma, because there are pronouns here. Leave the two of them, for I have entered the two of them in a state of purity. The first two of them, leave the two of them, is the socks. And the second means the two feet. And in the narration of Abu Dawud, which is authentic, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُ الْقَدَمَيْنِ. الْقَدَمَيْنِ, the two feet. I have put the two feet in. الْخَفَّيْنِ, into the two socks. I put the two feet into the two socks. وَهُمَا, and both of them, وَطَاهِرَتَانِ. Both of them were in a state of purity. The two feet. Now before we read the rest of the note here, from the book. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh. I want to look at Imam al-Bukhari narrated this hadith with about 6 or 7 different narrations of this hadith from Mughayrah. And he collected them all in the same place, as is the custom of Imam Muslim. If he narrates a hadith that has more than one wording, he narrates them all together in the same place. As opposed to Imam Bukhari, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them, if he narrates a hadith that has different wording, usually he narrates them in different places in his book, not in the same place. He narrates one wording under one chapter and the other wording under a different chapter because of whatever is the specific benefit that came from that variation in the wording. He may narrate one in the book of Salat, one in the book of Tahara, another one somewhere else. If it had some wording that was different, that gave a different important ruling, he gave it in a different chapter, in a different heading. In any case, Imam Muslim narrates this hadith from Al-Mughayrah with different wordings. I'm just going to read two of them quickly. And one of them, Imam Muslim narrates the hadith from Al-Mughayrah ibn Shu'bah. He said, "Kuntu ma'a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin." Even Imam Muslim had this wording, fi safarin. But not in all of his narrations. But in this one, he mentions fi safarin. Faqala, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya Mughayrah, khudh al-idawa." Yani take the utensil, the water utensil, that they keep the water in for wudu. He told the Al-Mughayrah, take the water utensil. فَأَخَذْتُهَا. So I took it. ثُمَّ خَرَجْتُ مَعَهُ. Then I went out with him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَانْتَلَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Prophet went away. حَتَّى تَوَارَ عَنِّي. Until he was out of my sight. I couldn't see him. He's going to relieve himself. So he went until he was out of my sight. فَقَضَى حَاجَتَهُ. So then he relieved himself. ثُمَّ جَعَى. Then he returned. وَعَلَيْهِ جُبَّةٌ. And he was wearing this type of garment, شَامِيَة, from the area of Sham, ضَيِّقَةُ الْكُمَيْنِ. Yani this garment is normally have loose sleeves, but his, the one he was wearing, had tight sleeves. The sleeves were very tight on this particular one. فَذَهَبَ يُخْرِجُ يَدَهُ مِنْ كُمِّهَا فَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet tried to get his hands out of the sleeves, but it was too tight and he couldn't get them out. فَأَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ مِنْ أَسْفَلِهَا. So then he just slipped his arms under the bottom of the garment to get them out so that he can wash. فَسَبَبْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Then Mughayrah said, so I poured the water for him. فَتَوَضَّعَ. And he performed ablution. وُضُوءَهُ لِلصَّلَاةِ. What kind of ablution? The wudu, the way it is performed when you are going to perform salat. ثُمَّ مَسَحَ عَلَى خُفَّيْهِ. Then he wiped over his socks. ثُمَّ صَلَّى. And then he prayed. This is the narration, one of the narrations of Imam Muslim. And the second narration of Imam Muslim, I'll suffice with this one, is also narrated from Al-Mughayrah. He says, كُنْتُ مَعَ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ فِي مَصِيرٍ. And I was with the Prophet ﷺ that night in a journey. فَقَالَ لِي أَمَعَكَ مَاءٌ. يعني the Prophet said to me, do you have any water with you? قُلْتُ نَعَمْ. I said yes. فَنَزَلَ. يعني the Prophet was on his riding animal. فَنَزَلَ عَنْ رَاحِلَتِهِ. He got down from his riding animal. فَمَشَّى حَتَّى تَوَارَ فِي سَوَادَ اللَّيْلِ. Then the Prophet walked until he was out of my sight in the darkness of the night. ثُمَّ جَاءَ فَأَفْرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ الْإِدَاوَةِ. Then he came back and I poured the water from the vessel, from the water vessel, I poured it for him. فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ. Then he washed his face. وَعَلَيْهِ جُبَّةٌ مِنْ صُوفٍ فَلَمْ يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يُخْرِجَ ذِرَاعَيْهِ مِنْهَا حَتَّى أَخْرَجَهُمَا مِنْ أَسْفَلِ جُبَّتِي. Then the Prophet, wearing this garment, he was a garment of wool, he was unable to get his arms, so finally he got them out from the bottom part of the garment. فَغَسَلَ ذِرَاعَيْهِ. Then he washed his hands up until the upper part of the arm, up till the elbow, the forearm up to the elbow. وَمَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ. And he wiped over his head. ثُمَّ أَهْوَيْتُ. He's performing ablution and Al-Mughayrah is pouring the water for him. When he got to this point, after he wiped his head, ثُمَّ أَهْوَيْتُ لِأَنْزِعَ خُفَّي. Then I bent down to remove his socks. فَقَالَ دَعَهُمَا. This is the narration of Sahih Muslim. دَعَهُمَا فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ. So leave them, because I have put them on in a state of purification. وَمَسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا, and he wiped over them. Okay, so the benefit of the narrations of Imam Muslim primarily is the detail of this hadith that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has narrated in summary. Yani he narrated the statement of the Prophet that contains the legal ruling, and he didn't narrate the rest of the story. And he gave us the core part of the incident. Yani what the Prophet ﷺ, that the ruling of wiping over the socks, the permissibility of wiping over the socks, is based upon. Okay, so from the meaning of the words of this hadith, أَهْوَى فُلَانٌ. Yani in this hadith, Al-Mughira says, the Prophet ﷺ performed wudu, فَأَهْوَيْتُ, so I bent down, لِأَنْزِعَ خُفَّيْهِ, for the purpose of taking off his two leather socks. The meaning of this أَهْوَيْتُ, it is from the verb أَهْوَى, يُحْوِي. The meaning of this kind of expression, أَهْوَى فُلَانٌ, so and so, bent down, it means مَدَّ يَدَهُ, that he stretched out his hands, وَنَزَلَ بِجِسْمِهِ إِلَىٰ أَسْفَلَ, and then he lowered his body down to the يعني bottom. يعني he bent down. He stretched out his hands and he bent down. And this is the meaning of أَهْوَى, يعني that he bent down, يعني stretching his hands out to يعني take off the socks of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is the past tense of the verb أَهْوَى, and here in the hadith it came in the first person, أَهْوَيْتُ, I bent down. The mudari yuhwi. Okay, the next word that came in this hadith is ahwaytu li anzi'a. Yani li lam ta'lil. This is the lam that that gives us the meaning of the reason why somebody did something. Li anzi'a, so for the purpose of removing khufayhi, his socks. So naza'a fulanun ash-shay'a. Naza'a fulanun ash-shay'a. It means jazabahu. Naza'a, a person so and so naza'a something. It means jazabahu. Means he pulled it. He pulled it. Yani like he's going to pull off his socks. Naza'a al-khuffa. It means khala'ahu. He took them off. He took them off. He removed them. The mudari of this verb naza'a is yanzi'u. Naza'a yanzi'u. And the masdar is naza'un. Naza'un. Yani bending down. The next word that came, yani lianzi'a khuffayhi, al-khuf is the definition of khuf, ma yulbasu fi rijli min jildin raqiqin. What is worn, yulbasu, whatever is worn, fi rijli, on the feet, made from min jildin raqiqin, from a thin type of yani hide, leather in this case. The next word that came was the statement of the Prophet ﷺ when he saw Al-Mughayra radiallahu anhu bending down, he said, da'ahuma, leave both of them. This da'a is the command form of the verb. The past tense is wada'a. Wada'a ash-shay'a. Wada'a. Yani be careful that you pronounce this, the dal, correctly, or otherwise you will have wada'a. Wada'a means to put something, and wada'a means to leave something with dal. We have wada'a, to leave. It means wada'a shay means tarakahu, he left it. Wal mudari should be yada'u. In the book it has yada'a with fatha. It should be yada'u. Yani mudari with dhamma. Wada'a yada'u. And the amr, the command form, is da'a. Yani dal fatha ayn with sukoon. Da'a. And da'a means utruk, leave it. Maadihi qalil al-istimal. Yani the past tense of this word, of this verb, wada'a. They are saying here what? That this past tense form of the verb is rarely used. Qalil al-istimal. It's not used often. Okay, on the next page, 18, on the top of the page, the words that we want to define continue. The next word is masaha ala shay. Yani masaha means amarra, with shadda on the ra. Amarra yadahu alayhi means that he passed his hand over it. Passed his hand over it. Yani, like rubbing or wiping something. The past tense, masaha. The present tense, yamsahu. Yamsahu. It means to wipe or to rub, to pass the hand over something. And then the hadith, in this hadith it came, يعني دعهما فإني أدخلتهما. أدخلت أدخل الشيء. It means جعله يدخل. Means to cause it to enter. يعني دخل means he entered. But أدخل means he caused someone or someone else to enter. وهذه الحمزة يعني the حمزه in this verb أدخل, the حمزه in the beginning of it, because the root of the verb is دخل, but the حمزه in the beginning here, this is هذه الحمزة للتعدية. للتعدية means it has the meaning of transitive. It caused something to the effect of the action to affect something else, not to remain with the doer of the action. And in other words, a person does an action that doesn't affect others. It doesn't affect others. It doesn't touch anybody else. It's just something that they're doing by themselves. Transitive means that it goes beyond the doer of the action and affects someone else. Like if he hit the boy. Okay, so the hitting is the action of someone, and then there's somebody that's affected by that hitting, right? The one who is the maf'ulun bi that is affected. So ta'diya means that the verb, the action of the verb becomes transitive. And this hamza being added to a verb, yani the fourth form of the verbs, yani of the mazid verb, yani it means that the action goes beyond the doer of the action. Naam. From the same verb, naam. Okay, here they give us three examples. The first example, dakhala hamidun al-fasla. Okay, here it's not muta'addi, it's lazim. The action is limited to the doer. It is, yani it has one object though. It has one object. Dakhala hamidun al-fasla. So al-fasla is the object of a verb. The action of entering happened to the classroom. Hamid entered the classroom. But now when you change the verb by adding the hamza in the beginning, then instead of having one object, it makes it, yani, go to two objects, maf'ulain. So, dakhala hamidun, he entered. Adkhala al-muraqibu hamidan al-fasla, the, yani, supervisor caused Hamid to enter the classroom. So here we have hamidan as an object of the verb, and we have fasla as an object of the verb. So the verb that has one object, when you make it, yani, you extend it, its action by making it transitive, more transitive, it becomes doubly transitive. Instead of having one object, it now has two objects. Okay, so the same thing here. Baka at-tiflu, yani the child cried. Man abaka at-tifla, who caused the child to cry. So baka at-tiflu, it doesn't have any object, but when you change the verb from baka to abaka, it means to cause someone else to cry. Now, yani the child that was the doer of the action, in the next sentence, the child is the object of somebody else's action causing that child to cry. And the third example they gave us, nazala al-maridu min as-sayyarati, the sick person got out of the car, descended from the car, and then they changed the verb from nazala to anzala, yani anzaltu al-marida min as-sayyarati, I caused the sick person to descend from or to get out of the car. In any case, this particular point is yani maybe beyond the level of some of us because we're not reached this level yet, but in any case this is yani a point related to how verbs, different forms of verbs, yani the meaning can be modified, and this modification yani is the fourth form of the verb, yani af'ala, and it means that the verb that's lazim, that's not transitive, becomes transitive, or if it's already transitive, instead of one object it has two. The next point is idahat nahwiya, yani grammatical clarifications, and the point that they want to clarify here is related to what is called hal, and hal means yani it's a description of an object, whether it's the fa'il or the maf'ulun bi or other than that, it's a description of its condition at the time when yani whatever is mentioned in that sentence is taking place. What was the condition of that particular one. Yani whether that one is the one who's doing the action or the one that the action is happening to or otherwise. What is its condition? How means what is condition. In the same way you say kaifa haluka. Yani how is your condition? Haluka. So this is the meaning of how, your condition. So here they gave us a lot of examples. I'm going to go through them a little bit quickly because yani, it's a lot of examples. But yani, hopefully there's some benefit in it. Okay, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about how. Okay, the first example they gave us is from the hadith itself. أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ. Meaning, I put the two of them on. طَاهِرَتَيْنِ is the how. The description. What was the description or the condition of the feet when I put them on? They were in a state of purification. They were in a state of purification. So طَاهِرَتَيْنِ here is the how. Yani meaning, it is the description of that thing at the time when the action of putting on the socks took place. This is the, a description of the how or the condition of the feet. And here they said, وَالْحَالُ وَصْفٌ مَنْسُوبٌ يُذْكَرُ لِبَيَانِ هَيْئَةِ صَاحِبِهِ وَيَقَعُ فِي جَوَابِ كَيْفَ. Yani this is a grammatical definition of how. Hal is a wasf, a description that's mansoob. Yani its i'rab is that it's mansoob in the accusative case. Yudhkaru, it is mentioned, li bayani, for clarification of the hay'a, the appearance or the condition of the one that it is describing, sahibihi. Wa yaqa'a fi jawabi, and it comes as a response to the question kayf. Yani kayfa, how were the feet when you put the socks on? They were in a state of purification. How was the man at the time when he entered the city? What was his condition? He was walking, he was riding, he was crying. What was his condition? Okay, so the how tells you the condition of the person, the one who may be the doer of the action or the one that the action is happening to or otherwise. What is their condition at the time of what is being described in this sentence? This is the definition of how. And then they give us examples of masculine, feminine, singular, dual, and plural. Okay, under Aleph we have جاء حامدٌ داحكاً. Hamid came laughing. Okay, Hamid came, what was his condition when he came? He was laughing. That's why داحكاً is mansoob, because the hal is always mansoob with fatha or with whatever makes it mansoob, depending on whether it's singular, dual, plural, masculine sound, plural, feminine sound, plural, and so on. جاء الطالبان ناجحان. Underneath, look at the next line. ناجحان ضاحكين. ضاحكين. يعني the two successful students. جاء الطالبان الناجحان. The two successful students came. What was their condition? ضاحكين. They were laughing. ضاحكين, because the dual, it is mansoob if it with ya, because of ya, so it became dahi kaini. The third one is plural. Jaa at-tullabu an-najihuna dahikina. Yani the successful students came. What was their condition? Dahikina. So you notice that laughing here in the first example, jaa hamidun dahikan, yani it's mansub, but it's singular. The second one is dual, dahikaini, it's also mansub, but it has ya because it's dual. And the third one, ضاحكين with كسرة, because it is منسوب plural. After that they give us feminines, also singular, dual, and plural. جاءت أختي ضاحكة منسوب. My sister came laughing. جاءت الطفلتان ضاحكتين. The two children came ضاحكتين, dual, منسوب, laughing. جاءت أخواتي. My sisters came ضاحكاتٍ. Yani the sound feminine plural when it's mansub, it takes kasra. Dahikatin. Then they give us a new set of examples under ba. Akaltu ataama sakhinan. I ate the food. What was its condition when I ate it? It was what? Anybody know? Sakhinan. It was hot. Hot. I ate the food hot. Sakhinan. The next example. Sakinan is mansub because it's the how, the condition of the food at the time that it was eaten. Taraktu al-babaini. I left the two doors, and in what condition? Maftuhaini. They were open at the time when I left them. The last example on this line, laqitu al-asdiqaa. I met the friends. What was their condition when I met them? Masrurina. Mansub. Yani they were happy. That was their condition. The last line of examples, ishtaraytu, feminine, ishtaraytu ad-dajajata. I bought the chicken. What was its condition when I bought it? Madbuhatan. It was slaughtered. It wasn't live. It had already been slaughtered. Utruki al-gurfataini maftuhataini. Leave the two rooms in what condition? Maftuhataini. Open. Leave the two rooms in the condition of being open. And the last example, laqitu al-akhawati zahibatin ila al-madrasati. I met the sisters, feminine, zahibatin, yani hal, the hal is mansub, feminine, sound plural, the sign that is mansub is kasra, zahibatin ila al-madrasati. I met the sisters while they were going, their condition was what? They were going to the school. Okay, all of these examples are about hal. If you haven't studied hal yet, don't worry about this. If you have, then you should yani be able to understand all of these examples. If you haven't studied how, don't worry about it for now. The second point, grammatical clarification, khufayhi. The word khufayhi, it says, tuhdhafu nunu al-muthanna lil-idafati. Yani, the noon in the dual word is omitted. It is deleted when it is put in idafa. Yani, if you have a word that's in the dual form, and you make it as a mudaf to another word, the noon has to be deleted when you put it in idafa. That's what they're saying here. And that's why we have khufayhi in this hadith. And khufayhi here, originally this word khufayhi is what? Khufayni. Yani khufayni. It's originally dual khufayni, but the noon of khufayni, when you put it into idafa here, khufayhi, when you connected it to the ha, the noon is deleted, and then the hu here became he because it's preceded by ya with sukoon. Yani whenever the pronoun hu or hum or huma is preceded by a kasra or ya with sukoon, the dhamma becomes kasra. Not because it's majroor, it's because of the sound of the voweling. When it's preceded by kasra or ya with sukoon, hu becomes he. So khufayni and hu became, deleting the noon, khufay, and the who became he, and that's how we came up with the word li'anziya khufay, his two khufs. Okay, they give a couple of examples here. The first one, akhawani, that's a dual from akh, right? Akhawani, two brothers. When you put it in idalfa, akhawa hamidin taliban. Akhawa, the noon is deleted because of idalfa, so it became akhawa hamidin, the two brothers of Hamid are two students. Here we have akhawaini. Yani akhawani is when it's marfu'un with alif, and akhawaini is when it's majroor mansub with ya. Both of them means two brothers. Akhawani and akhawaini. When the noon is deleted from akhawani, it becomes akhawa. And when the noon is deleted from akhawaini, it becomes akhawai. Yani you say akhawaini, ra'aytu akhawai hamidin, mansub in this particular case. Okay, these are the grammatical clarifications, and now we're going to go to the meaning of the hadith on page 19. Meaning of the hadith. Ma'ana al hadith. Naam. Here, wa alaykum salam. An al mughirati. An al mughirati. Naam. Should be an al-mughirati, naam. Originally it's mamnu min al-sarf, but words that are mamnu min al-sarf, when they have alif lam, they are removed from the state of mamnu min al-sarf. Alright? So it should be anil-mughirati. I put the voweling here in color to remind me, but then I forgot to mention it. Anil-mughirati, naam, should be T. So remember, the words that are mamnu min al-sarf, it means that when they are majroor, they don't take kasra, they take fatha. But if that word has alif lam, then it's no longer ممنوع من الصرف, so it can take كسرة. Okay, the meaning of the hadith, كان المغيرة مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر. يعني المغيرة was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a journey. فتوضأ, so he performed ablution صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكان المغيرة يصب عليه الماء. And Mughira, he was pouring for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the water of his wudu. فَغَسَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَجْهَهُ وَيَدَيْهِ وَمَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam washed his face and he washed his two hands. يَدَيْهِ is from what originally? يَدَيْن. The noon is deleted and the who became he? يَدَيْهِ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم washed his face, washed his two hands, وَمَسَحَ, and he wiped, بِرَأْسِهِ, he wiped over his head. And ذَلِكَ, at that time, مَدَّ الْمُغِيرَةُ يَدَيْهِ, المغيرة stretched out his two hands, لِيَخْلَعَ, يعني in the hadith it came, لِأَنْزِعَ, the meaning of it is, لِيَخْلَعَ, the same meaning, to remove, لِيَخْلَعَ خُفَّي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the two kufs of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And again you see خفي, originally خفين, the noon is deleted because it's in idafa to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he stretched his two hands forward to remove the two kufs of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, حتى يغسل رجليه, so that he will wash the feet, his two feet. Notice يغسِلَ with فتى, because حتى يعني makes it منسوب, and حتى here doesn't mean until. حتى has two meanings. يعني means until something. Here it means so that he can wash his two feet. فقال له صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, ما معناه, يعني that which its meaning is as follows. He said to him, الذي معناه, that which its meaning is, اتركهما, يعني دعهما means اتركهما, leave both of them, meaning the two socks. فإنني قد لبستهما, because I have put them on. I put them on على طهارة, while I was in a state of purification. يعني meaning I washed my feet. At the time when I put those socks on, I had already washed my feet. فمسح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليهما, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wiped over the two خفص, since at this point there was no need to remove them. I'm adding this word, right? It's not the end of the book. I'm adding it. Why? There was no need. يعني المغير wanted to remove the Prophet's socks to wash them, but there was no need to remove them. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, leave them. There's no need to wash them. I have already put them on in a state of purification. I already washed them with water before I put them on. Therefore, no need to take them off. Unlike many of the people today, when they came to the masjid to make wudu, it's mandatory for them to take their socks off and wash their feet. Is that the sunnah? Apparently not. The Prophet ﷺ told Mughayra, leave them. Don't take them off. There's no need to. I have already washed them before I put them on. So if a person has washed their feet, they perform wudu and wash their feet with water before they put their socks on, there's no need to take them off. If you want to follow the sunnah, do as the Prophet ﷺ did, leave them and wipe over them. This is the sunnah. Time is short upon us. Quickly.
Very quick. Well, I have heard, well, that's a sunnah, but I have heard some people say, maybe because of the scarcity of water at that time,
that's why he did it?
Well, some people,
but he explained why he did it. He explained why he did it in the hadith. He said, "Da'ahuma,
right.
Since we don't have enough water, leave them. Since we don't have enough water, don't we won't wash." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Leave them because I already washed them." Right. Not because of scarcity of water. The hadith is crystal clear.
Yeah.
The hadith is crystal clear. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say leave them because we don't have enough water. We don't have a lot of water, so we're not going to use up all the water washing feet. He said, no, leave them because I already used water to wash them. There's no need to do it again. Anyway. Na'am, akhi.
Huh?
What? Yani, you mean the verb itself? Tawadda?
Yeah.
The verb is tawadda. Naam. That's the verb. It's the yani the fifth form of the verb. Tafa'ala. The past tense of it is tafa'ala. Like ta'allama. Naam. Takallama. Tawadda. It's the fifth form of the verb. Mazid. Naam. Naam. Okay, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I have to answer your question. أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ. Yani I put them on, I entered the feet into the socks. This is حَال طَاهِرَتَيْنِ. Remember we said حَال is the description of the feet when he put the socks on. What was their condition? They were in a state of purification. This is حَال. حَال is mansub. In this hadith, it's different. It said إِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُ الْقَدَمَيْنِ. This mansub, مَفْعُولٌ بِي. وَهُمَا, and both of them were طَاهِرَتَانِ. This is مُبْتَدَى and خَبَر. This is مَرْفُوعٌ, طَاهِرَتَانِ. This is مَنْسُوب, حَال. This is خَبَر, مَرْفُوعٌ. Okay, this حَال, it's مَنْسُوب, طَاهِرَتَانِ. This is مَرْفُوعٌ, طَاهِرَتَانِ. Yani the dual, when it is مَرْفُوعٌ, it takes alif. When it's مَنْسُوب or مَجْرُوع, it takes ya. So طَاهِرَتَانِ, why is it? Yani here it is مَنْسُوب because it is حَال, describing the feet, their condition at the time when he put them on. Here, it is not how. This is a mubtada and a khabar. This is marfu'un. Okay, after this, yani the benefits from this hadith. Benefits from this hadith. ما يستفاد من الحديث من أحكام. There are a lot of benefits from this hadith. We're going to just mention a few of them so we still have time to get to the questions. ما يستفاد من الحديث من الأحكام. What is it that we can benefit from this hadith in terms of legal rulings? Legal rulings. أحكام. أحكام is the plural of what? حكم. نعم. The first one, جواز المسح. It should be جواز المسح with كسرة. يعني مضاف إليه مجرور. جواز المسح with كسرة. على الخفين. Yani the permissibility of wiping over khufs. The second benefit, يشترط على من أراد أن يمسح على الخفين أن يكون قد لبسهما على طهارة مائية. طهارة مائية. Yani it is a condition, يشترط, it's a shart. For the one who intends to wipe over the kufs, a condition, a precondition. It's not valid unless you fulfill the conditions, right? So the precondition is that what? You have to have put them on. أن يكون قد لبسهما. He put them on على طهارة مائية. يعني having performed purification with water. Meaning, it's not sufficient that you purify yourself yani with other than water and then put on socks and wipe over them. Yani in order to have permission of wiping over socks, you have to have washed your feet with water before you put them on. Water. Tahara ma'iyya. The third condition, or the third point from this hadith, is jawazu khidmati ashab al-fadli wa ashab al-huquq alayna mithl al-ulama wal-abawain. The permissibility of give, offering service to ashab al-fadl, yani those who have virtue or excellence amongst us, in our family, in our society, whatever. Wa ashab al-huquq alayna, and those who have rights over us, like the ulama, the scholars, and the abawain, the parents. Yani ashab al-fadl, the example he gave here is the ulama. They are the people of virtue and excellence in our society, Muslim scholars, are people of excellence and superiority in the society. And as for those who have rights, there are many. But the most important of those who have rights over us are who? Our parents. And the most important of the parents is our mother. Faida. Okay, these are three benefits that he mentioned. The permissibility to wipe over socks. The condition that you have to have washed the feet with water before you put them on. And the third point is the permissibility of giving service to those who have excellence or virtue in the society and those who have rights over us. فائدة ورد في السنة توقيت للمسح عَلَى الْخُفَّيْنِ. It has been mentioned in the Sunnah, the timing for wiping over kufs, the timing for wiping over kufs. How long do you have to wipe over them? لِلْمُقِيمِ أَنْ يَمْسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا مُدَّةَ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. لِلْمُقِيمِ, the one who is resident, who is not traveling, he has the right to wipe over the feet for the period of مُدَّةَ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ, a day and a night, yani 24 hours. وللمسافر, and for the traveler, he has the right, and يمسح عليهما, to wipe over them, ثلاثة أيام بلياليها, 3 days and the nights accompanying those days, yani 3 full days and nights. How many hours is that? 72 hours. And let me stop here, because the Shaykh, they didn't mention this point, critical point. Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, and Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, and Shaykh Al-Albani, and some of the scholars of Sunnah are in agreement, although there's disagreements concerning this point. This one day and a night, or 3 days and three nights for the traveler, when does it begin? Some people said it begins when you broke your ablution. Some people said it begins when you washed your feet with water before putting on the socks, or when you put the socks on. And some people said it begins when you use the permission to wipe. Okay, the scholars have different opinions. We don't have time to go into the details of this. But what is most correct is that the time begins when you use the permission to wipe. Why is this most correct? Imam Nawawi says this is most correct because you have a permission to wipe for 24 hours. So, yani, you didn't wipe yet. How did the time start running? You didn't use it yet. Once you use it, now the time starts. Huh? Otherwise, maybe you will not use it. Maybe the 24 hours will elapse and you didn't use it yet, so you don't get any benefit. But what is intended here is that there's ease. And there's a period of that ease. It's for 24 hours you have permission to wipe. Once you wipe, the clock starts running. Now you have 24 hours to wipe, yani, before you have to take the socks off and wash them. Okay. After this, he says, وَالْمَسْحُ عَلَى الْخُفَّيْنِ جَائِزٌ فِي الْوُضُوءِ. Huh? Wiping over the socks is permissible for ablution only. وَأَمَّا فِي الْغُسْلِ مِنَ الْجَنَابَةِ فَلَا يَجُوزُ الْمَسْحُ. As far as taking a complete bath, the bath from janaza, the person who has a major state of impurity from marital relations or something like this, the person who requires a ghusl, then it is not permissible to wipe over socks for the person who needs a ghusl. For the person who needs a ghusl, it's not permissible to wipe over socks. You have to take those socks off and you have to wash the feet with water. بَلْ يَجِبُ نَزَعُهُمَا وَغَسْلُ رِجْلَيْنِ. Rather, it's not permissible to wipe, rather it is obligatory to take off the socks and to wash the feet with water. Finally, he says, الْحِكْمَةُ مِنَ الْمَسْحِ عَلَى الْخُفَّيْنِ. Yani, the wisdom, the objective, the purpose of the permission of wiping over the kufs, it is التَّيْسِيرُ وَتَسْهِيلُ عَلَى النَّاسِ. التَّيْسِير, yani, yeah, and تَسْهِيل, ease, both of them. Yani, تَيْسِير, to facilitate the matter for the people, and تَسْهِيل, to make it easy for the people. This is the purpose of the permission in the Sharia of wiping over socks, to facilitate one's affair and to make ease for the people so that they don't have hardship. I want to add here from Taysir al-Alam, the Sharf Umdat al-Ahkam, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman al-Bassam, rahimahullah, he said, وَالْمَسْهُ يَكُونُ مَرَّةً وَاحِدَ بِالْيَدِ. Yani, the wiping is one time, wiping with the hand, one time. And also he said, وَيَكُونُ عَلَىٰ أَعْلَى الْخُفْ دُونَ أَسْفَلِهِ. And it should be on the upper part of the khufs, not the lower part. Not the lower part. And this is, he said, كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْآثَارِ, as it has been narrated in some of the reports that came, yani, from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And the most well-known report concerning this is the report from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih. It's reported that he said, لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ بِالرَّأْيِ لَكَانَ أَسْفَلَ الْخُفِّ أَوْلَى بِالْمَسْحِ مِنْ a'lahu. That if our deen was exclusively based upon opinion, yani intellect, rationale, then it would be more right that we should wipe the bottom of the kufs, yani then wiping the upper part, because the dirt is mostly going to be on the bottom, not on the top. Ali radiallahu anhu said, if our deen was based exclusively on intellect, forgetting about revelation, just intellect, then it would be more right that we wipe the bottom. But he didn't stop there, he said, وَلَكِنْ وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَمْسَهُ عَلَى ظَاهِرِ خُفَّيْهِ. But what I saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم doing is wiping over the top part of his khufs. And this narration is reported by Abu Dawud, Ad-Darimi, and others, and Shaykh al-Bani said this is sahih. And the point of this narration that is critical is that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu is saying, don't allow your intellect to supersede the revelation. If it was by intellect alone, for sure I would say wipe the bottoms. But guess what? I saw the Prophet ﷺ doing other than that. And this is what we have to follow. Okay, we have some questions here. Naam. It's about what we have discussed so far. Okay, we have to keep it sweet because we have a lot of questions here. We have a lot of questions to cover.
The first question is wiping the upper part is a whole.
That's an opinion. Now, some scholars say that you have to wipe, you have to wipe the whole upper part from the toes up to this part that ends the foot here. Yani, what do you call this bone here?
Can I go to Hajj? Can I be considered as a traveler and use the 7th?
Yeah, if you're in Hajj, you live in America and you're going to Hajj, you're a traveler.
So you stay for a while.
Even if you stay for a while, you're a traveler. No.
My question is the type of socks. I don't know, maybe you said you mentioned before.
We didn't talk about it in detail. Oh, we didn't talk about that yet. There's difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning the type of socks. Some scholars have made a lot of conditions. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said all of those conditions that they made have no basis in the Sharia. Yani, what came in the Sharia is there have to be something covering your feet. And didn't come, if they have holes, if you can walk a mile in them, do you have to tie them or not, and all of this. He said none of those conditions came in the Sharia. But we're going to mention it just briefly, inshallah. We're going to mention this just briefly, but we do have a lot of questions. I'll just say this, okay, just briefly. For example, first of all, I'm going to mention the hadith of Al-Mughira that's narrated by At-Tirmidhi. Shaykh Al-Bani said in Sahih Sunan At-Tirmidhi, it is Sahih. A lot of scholars differ with his ruling concerning this. They said that it is weak. Shaykh Al-Bani said that it's Sahih. Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, توضع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومسح على الجوربين والنعلين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made wudu and he wiped over the two socks and the two sandals. Reported by At-Tirmidhi, Shaykh al-Albani said صحيح. In any case, يعني there's difference of opinion concerning this narration. Sahib al-Qamus, يعني scholar of Arabic language, he said al-Jawrab, what are Jawrab socks? لفافت الرجل, يعني whatever is wrapped around the feet. It's not limited, يعني as خفص means leather socks, socks, يعني that's mentioned in this hadith or whatever is wrapped around the feet. يحيى ابن بكاء قال سمعت ابن عمر رضي الله عنه يقول. He said that I heard Ibn Umar saying, and this narration is reported in the Musannaf Ibn Abi Shaybah rahimahullah, and it is sahih. He said, Ibn Umar said, Al-Mashu Al-Jawrabaini. What is Jawrabaini? Whatever is wrapped around the feet. He said, Al-Mashu Al-Jawrabaini Kal-Mashi Al-Khufaini. It's just like wiping over leather socks. And wiping over other socks is just like wiping over leather socks. Yani, the ruling is the same, because the intent is that, yani, the person has ease and facility in washing the feet, يعني during the course of a day, 24 hours, or if they're a traveler, more than that. Ibn Hazm, al-Imam Ibn Hazm, رحمه الله, said, المسه على كل ما لبس في الرجلين مما يحل لباسه مما يبلغ فوق الكعبين سنة. Wiping over everything that are worn as footwear for the feet, from that which is permissible to be worn, meaning not pig skin or something like this, يعني everything that the feet that are worn as footgear for the feet, yani wiping over them as long as they cover the ankles is sunnah. And then he went on to say, it doesn't matter if they are slippers, meaning khufs, or they are yani made from leather, made from felt, made from wood, made from linen, cotton, camel hair, goat hair, whatever. It doesn't matter if something is upon them or whatever. He's saying all of this, yani if the feet are covered with them, then it's permissible to wipe over them. And this is yani a little bit of what some of the scholars said concerning yani the question about what kind of socks you are wearing and whether or not it's permissible. And finally, I'm going to say that Ibn Munzir mentions in Al-Awsat, he says the permissibility of wiping over socks was narrated from 9 companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ammar ibn Yasir, Abu Mas'ud, Anas ibn Malik, Abd ibn Umar, Al-Bara ibn Azib, Bilal ibn Rabah, Abu Umama, and Sahal ibn Sa'ad. And Ibn Qayyim says, in addition to them, Amr ibn Hurayth, Umar ibn Al-Khattab, and Abd ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with all of them. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Yani, he said here what? Ibn Munzir said what? That it has been narrated. Ruya ibahatul mas alal jawrabain. Wiping over socks has been narrated as being permissible by all of these companions that we mentioned. Wiping over socks. Okay, so the point is that we're not just talking about leather socks. We're talking about jawrabain, whatever is worn to cover the feet. And this is a long discussion, and there's a lot of difference of opinion about it. We're going to suffice with this and try to go to the questions. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You mentioned something that is very important, because you said that the socks would cover the ankles. But there is a kind of socks I see nowadays. It looks like it doesn't cover the ankles.
Yeah, and it's below the ankles. Allahu alam about them, but in any case, yani, it's safer that a person wears socks that cover the ankle. It's safer that a person wears socks that cover the ankle. Ibn Hazm said, with the condition, mimma yablugu fawqa al-ka'bayn, wiping over the socks that cover, yani at least reach up to the ankles, is sunnah. As far as less than that, Allahu alam, that may be some, yani, may require some further, yani, examination. Okay, quickly, the questions that remain for us. Questions that remain on page 20. Let's look at these questions. And also, don't forget, if you have written out the hadith from last week or this week, please, if you wrote it out from last week, make sure you pick it up before you leave. First question. Huh? No problem. We're just trying to yani be a little bit more precise and exact. If we're saying the hadith is from Bukhari and Muslim, we want to look in Bukhari and Muslim and see the exact wording. The wording came in Bukhari, fi safarin. Yani kuntu ma nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin. And it also came in 2 of the narrations of Imam Muslim also with the wording fi safarin. And I didn't find it without this wording in Bukhari. In any case, first question, page 20. لِمَاذَا أَرَادَ الْمُغِيرَ نَزَعَ كُفَّي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani, why did Mughira want to remove the kufs of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? نعم, Mustafa. لِغَسْلِ أو لِيَغْسِلَ لِيَغْسِلَ قَدَمَيْهِ رِجْلَيْهِ. نعم. He wanted to remove it in order to, for he wanted to wash the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number 2. Da'ahuma fa'inni adkhaltuhuma tahiratain. Leave them, for I have put them on in a state of purity. Man qala hadha? Who said this? Al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. Waliman, who did he say it to? Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu. وَمَا الْحُكُمَ الْمُسْتَفَادَ مِنْهُ. And what is the ruling that is derived from this statement? Leave them, for I have put them on in a state of purification. What is the ruling that's derived from this statement? Naam.
أَنَّهُ أُرِيدُ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَمْسَحَ.
Okay, Mughayr wanted to wipe, he wanted to wash the feet. But the Prophet wanted to? Yamsa, yani. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him leave them because he wants to wipe over them. So the ruling, the legal ruling that comes from this statement is what?
An
Nam he Jawaz. 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 The permissibility. Jawaz al mas al khufain. Yani bishart. But the condition though that the person has, as he said, Abu Bakr said, Labisahuma, that he put them on Tahirataini, in a state of purification. The ruling is the permissibility of wiping over the socks, as long as the person has put them on after having washed the feet with water. Question number 3. Hati al-mudari wal-amra min al-af'al al-atiya. Give two things, the present tense and the imperative command form from the following verbs. Wada'a. What is the mudari? Yada'u. And the amra?
Da'a.
Okay, taraka. Yatruku. Utruk. Utruk. Leave. Naza'a. Yanzi'u. The fi'l amra? Inzil. Enza. Enza. Yani naza'a yanzi'u enza'a. Yani, na'am. طيب, after this, labisa. Yalbasu. Ilbas. 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 Where? Yani labisa means to wear. Masaha. Yamsahu. Imsah. Imsah. Yani enza. Ilbas. Imsah. Na'am. Beware of this one. Adkhala. يدخلوا يدخلوا أفعل يفعل أدخل يدخل في العمر أدخل is from دخل يدخلوا أدخل 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 نعم. Question number 4. ثني الكلمات التي تحتها خط, يعني make dual the words that have a line underneath them. Okay, I'm going to read the sentence first, then you read it, making the singular word do. غَابَ الْيَوْمَ زَمِيلُ حَامِدٍ. Yani the friend of Hamid or the classmate of Hamid was absent today. Make it do now. غَابَ الْيَوْمَ زَمِيلَي حَامِدٍ. Is it زَمِيلَي? زَمِيلَا. Yani zamil is marfu'un, it's the fa'il. So the dual, yani zamilani is marfu'un, zamilaini is mansub or majrur. So it should be zamilani, the noon is deleted because of idafa, so it became ghab al yawm zamila hamidin, zamila. No, you don't need to change the fa'il, because if the fa'il comes after the fa'il, it doesn't have to reflect anything. Type number 2, اغسل رجلك, yani wash your foot. Make it dual, naam. رجليك, naam. It should be رجلا becomes رجلين, because it's the object of the verb. اغسل رجلين. But because of idafa, the noon is deleted. رجليك. Number 3, خذ الكتاب بيدك. Yani take the book with your hand. Naam, Abdul Haq. Naam, khudh al-kitaba bi yadayka. Yani bi yadain. Yani dul yadan, but because it's majroor, yadain, the noon is deleted, yadayka. Yadayka. Question number 5. Hati arba'ata amthilatin lil-fi'l alladhi zidat fihi al-hamzatu lil-ta'adiyya. Yani give 4 examples of a verb which has increased in it the hamza for making the verb transitive. The hamza for ta'adiyya. Now, 4 examples. Give me one. A verb that has been made transitive by hamza. Oh, let me give one first. Okay, just the verb, that's all. Yani nazala. Okay, anzala. Nazala, anzala. Now. دخل أدخل. نعم.
أكرم.
ها؟
أكرم.
What's the verb? أكرم is really, يعني is the original. نعم.
أسلم.
What's the first? Give me the form before it became transitive.
فعل أفعل.
فعل أفعل. give us a verb that it's, the meaning of it is clear, it became transitive from yani not being transitive.
Darasa?
Adrasa. Yani darrasa. Adrasahu? Maybe. Allahu alam. Yani it's normally used for ta'adiyah is darrasa. Darasa, darrasa. طيب, in any case, the point here is what? That yani some of these verbs take the form af'ala, some of them take the form fa'ala, and some of them take both forms. Like labisa, yani I wore, or somebody caused you to get dressed, albasahu. Albasa at-tifl, yani you caused the child to get dressed. Jalasa, ajlasa, yani you caused somebody to sit. Ajlasahu. Like this. Naam. This is the end of the questions, and I just want to go over the hadith quickly. There's one more question. Okay, hati mithalain lil hal. Two examples for hal. Okay, give me a sentence that has a description of hal in it. Now, this is waw al hal. This is waw al hal. But we want just a singular word how by itself. One word how. Yani you give in a whole sentence. Well, Imam Yajlisu. That's waw al hal. Jumla haliyah. We want a single word. Okay. Uhibbu lahma mashwiyan. I like it in what condition?
Grilled.
Yani grilled. Naam. Masrooran. Dakhala Abu Bakr al masjid masrooran, naam. Abu Bakr entered the masjid happy, in a state of happiness. Naam. Two examples, naam. Dahikan. طيب, the hadith for next week, on the bottom of page 20, al-hadith al-sabi'u, yani fi dhammi man yatakhalla fi tariq al-nasi aw dhillihim. Yani concerning them, blaming man yatakhalla, the person who relieves themselves fi tariq al-nasi, in the roadways of the people, أو ذلهم, or in their shaded places where people sit to rest. Okay, this is hadith number 7, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, اتقوا اللعانين. قالوا, وما اللعانان يا رسول الله؟ قال, الذي يتخلى في طريق الناس أو في ذلهم رواه مسلم. يعني on the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, said, اتقوا, fear or protect yourself from اللعانين. This is a dual word, لعانين. Protect yourself from اللعانين, the two things, the two who are cursed, or the two things that cause a person to be cursed. Yani the two people who are cursed, or the actions that cause them to be cursed. اتقوا اللعانين. قالوا وما اللعانان يا رسول الله. What are those two things, O Messenger of Allah, those two people? He said, الذي يتخلى, the one who relieves theirself. يتغوت, yani defecates. في طريق الناس, in the roadways of the people. أو في ذلهم, or in their shaded areas, yani the places that the people usually come to rest in. Rawahu Muslim. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.